I want Kristen to read us a few pages of, you ever get a book and put it down and go, well, it just didn't grab me? Have y'all ever done that? And then a year or two later, you pick it up and go, wow, this is what I need right now. But this is a documentary called Fire on Azusa Street. And I had her read just a short passage 2 weeks, maybe a week ago. But I want you to read one, two, don't want to make it too long, but read to there. Where I got that little mark? Okay, I hope. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your written word. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the word of God. But God, we thank you for the testimony of those who have gone before us, Jesus. And you said the latter rain ought to be better and harder and deeper than the early rain. So this happened in 06? I think Azusa Street hit about 08, but that was prior to Azusa Street. So how many of y'all ever heard of Azusa Street? Where was it? It was in Los Angeles. It was in a barn, a livery stable. And there was a one-eyed black man named, help me, Jesus, William Seymour. And God moved in a mighty way. Of course, I think the Welch Revival was going on, and somebody visited there, and it's like a transferable anointing. It's kind of like what's happened in not too many years ago. We've seen transferable anointing. So let's believe, let's hold our hands up. Lord, we claim we receive this anointing for more of you, Jesus, from these words, God, that they'll be supernatural in Jesus' name.
Check. Charmed by the baptisms in the Holy Spirit, strange languages, tongues of fire, prophecies, casting out of demons, and miraculous healings, I was sure that the 20th century Holy Spirit revival started on Azusa Street in 1906. Now, I know that although this revival reverberated from Azusa Street to all parts of the world from 1906, it actually began 6 years earlier in 1,500 miles to the east in Topeka, Kansas. The awesome miracle of Charles Fox Parham, a bright, young, club-footed Bible college student in Winfield, Kansas, helped to start it. One night, Parham hobbled out on campus, gazed up at a sky full of sparkling lights, marveled at these masterworks of God, and stopped under a towering oak tree. Parham knew that God, through Jesus, could make his feet normal. He had faith, a deep, unshakable faith, even though modern churches insisted that divine healings were not for today. He prayed a simple prayer to Jesus, and it happened. A surge of warmth coursed down through his feet, and he was instantaneously healed. His miracle brought him still greater faith that whatever Jesus did while on earth 1,900 years before, he could do today through the Holy Spirit. He realized more than ever that his own Methodist church and other formal, highly institutionalized churches were making wrong biblical interpretations, discounting God's supernatural abilities. Men were trying to reduce God to an image and likeness of man. At age 16, Parham was the youngest ordained Methodist minister in the nation. His personal miracle made him realize that he could not stay in his church. Miracles simply did not happen in Methodism. So he resigned and became a member of the Holiness Movement, which believed in the full gospel. Convinced that modern churches needed more of the emphasis of the first century church, faith, miracles, and even the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Parham decided to demonstrate that God was practical and responsive to calls from those who loved him. With nothing but pocket money and abundant faith, Parham, in 1898, took on a tremendous responsibility. He started Bethel Healing Home for the ill and crippled who were too poor to pay for care and lodging. Refusing to solicit funds, he called God's attention to needs through prayer. In mysterious ways, the place received beds, other equipment, and steady supplies of food. Prayer spoken in faith was the only medicine used, and many were healed. In October 1900, Parham started a Bible school, Bethel College, and moved that and Bethel Healing Home into a two-story mansion called Stone's Folly on Topeka's outskirts. A man named Stone had built the structure as his home, importing costly wood from many different nations to make each room distinctive. But by the time he was nearing completion, the top floor, he ran out of money. Parham rented the place for $40 a month. The college, too, was financed by faith. Students paid no tuition or board. They were taught that God's word was fully practical and dependable. After teaching salvation, sanctification, and healing, Parham asked the students to find what the Bible said was the evidence of baptism in the Holy Spirit. The students later responded unanimously, speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. On New Year's Eve of 1900, 40 students and 70 visitors gathered in the top room to pray and seek the Lord. Parham, who had been away on a speaking engagement, came in and gasped in surprise. Illuminated only by coal oil lamps, the room was brighter than if lit by today's powerful electric lights. Tongues of fire danced above the heads of the students. A young missionary named Agnes Osman asked Parham to lay hands on her so that she could receive the Holy Spirit. "I can't do that," responded Parham. "I haven't received the baptism in the Holy Spirit myself." "Please," she pleaded, "do it in the name of the Lord." With resignation, he laid hands on her and asked God to baptize her in the Holy Ghost. Suddenly, a halo of light formed around her head and a stream of exotic words poured out of her mouth. For 3 days, Agnes Osman spoke nothing but Chinese. Parham was overjoyed. What he knew in faith had proved to be true. Now he would ask for the Holy Spirit baptism for himself. Alone, behind the Bethel House organ, he sank to his knees and, according to his daughter-in-law, Pauline Parham, prayed, "God, let the husbandmen first be partakers of the fruits." Almost instantly, he began speaking in a tongue foreign to him. Inspired, all the students prayed for this baptism, and most of them were soon speaking in languages which they had never before known or studied. Strange happenings in Stone's Folly attracted newspaper reporters from all over the state, as well as government interpreters and college language professors.
Does this encourage you to hear these little, we'll just read a little bit out of this book every week if it encourages you. Charles Parham, I believe. It should make us hungry for more, shouldn't it? Yes, Lord. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your signs and wonders and miracles. We thank you for your obedience to even death on the cross, Lord. I thank you, God, that your word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I wanted to read you a little something I read about Christian baptism. How many of y'all are aware that baptism was in the Old Testament too? Did you all know that, or did you think it started with John the Baptist? Yes. Oh, you had your hand up. You were aware? Oh, no, that's okay. Well, let me read you. I thought this was a pretty good... Christian baptism, a rite of immersion in water, is commanded by Christ, by which one, after confessing their sins and professing their faith in Christ, having been born again by the Holy Spirit unto a new life, identifies publicly with the fellowship of Christ and the church. In Romans 6:3, Paul states, "We are baptized unto death," meaning we are not only dead to our former ways, but they are buried. To return to them is as unthinkable for a Christian as for one to dig up a dead corpse. In Muslim countries, a new believer has little trouble with Muslims until he is publicly baptized. It is then that the Muslims know that he means business and the persecution starts. So they publicly baptize. They don't do it in a little corner. They don't do it hiding. And there's nothing wrong with doing it in the church, but it's a public event. It's a public thing. And I know Billy Graham always said, Jesus always asked his disciples to follow him publicly. It never was a behind closed doors. It never was a secret thing. It was a public profession. How are you doing, Cody? Danny, Mike, go over there and put your arms around Cody and pray over him, would you please? God wants to, he wants to rekindle something in you, and he wants the love of the Father to just invade you. Is that okay? Please, y'all do that, as in, don't care how loud you get, that's what God wants to do, okay? Just enjoy his presence, Cody. He's got a lot for you, brother. He's got a lot for you. Go to Genesis. Would you have started there, Nana? Okay. Praise God. This is exciting stuff, man. Genesis 6, verse 1. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. So most people would say that the sons of God were probably angels that had fallen. And they just, because angels are not supposed to be having relationship with humans, okay? But somehow these demonic beings were having sexual relations with human women, okay? And the Lord says, my spirit shall not strive, wrestle with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days will be 120 years. Now that's interesting too, isn't it? That's very interesting, because people at that time were, how old was Methuselah? 999? He was old. And here they're saying, there's going to come a time when nobody will live past 120 years. And if you look after Noah, if you look at the genealogies, they get shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. Kind of interesting. There were giants on the earth in those days and also afterward. When the sons of God, again, we talked about that a second ago, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were mighty men who were of old, men of renown. And of course, we know about Goliath, and he had brothers. So there were giants on the earth. Even after the flood, who knows? Just know they were evil. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Give me a definition of wickedness. Does anybody? Wickedness is beyond bad and sin, isn't it? Wickedness is just lawlessness. Yeah, law. Anything? Does anything else come to mind with wickedness? When I would hear the word wicked when I was a kid, it just kind of, bam! It's a hard word, isn't it? Yeah, but now you see these little stores and stuff along the way, wicked Wandas and wicked, you know, and it's being pumped up like a sensuous thing wickedness is, right? So, you know, it says in the last days bad will be called good and good will be bad and called bad. And this isn't a last days teaching at all, but the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. In other words, every thought that came to their minds were evil and ways to do more evil. Does that sound like our society right now? And somebody was saying, you were saying earlier, Jeannie, that when we grew up, well, you're a lot younger, you're like a daughter age to me, but how old are you? You'll be 40. But you still had ingrained in you, you may not have walked it, but you had ingrained some kind of moral compass, didn't you? There was right and wrong, wasn't there? There were some things you just didn't do. Now you go down to your children's generation. How old's 15? It's a whole different ball game, isn't it? Anything goes, right? And he's raised in church, right? But his society, anything goes. Is that true, pretty much? The intent of their heart was wickedness and continual wickedness. And it says in verse 6, which you could never believe that a loving God could say this, but he said, and the Lord was sorry. The Lord repented that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. He was crying and wailing and moaning in his heart for what he had. When he looked down and he saw the perfect creation he'd made in his own image, when he saw what had happened to it and how it become perverted and dirty and filthy. God, that would be like your child. And some of us have had children that have strayed, but it would be like all your children straying. All of your children going against you. Right? So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But these two words, but Noah. Those are two of the most powerful words in the whole Bible. But Noah. He said, I'm ready to destroy everything I have created. But Noah, what? But Noah found what? Favor. Favor, acceptance, grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah pleased God, doesn't he? And then it goes to genealogy. Verse 9, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect. When we repent and ask Jesus to save us, we become just and perfect before God, just as Noah did. You know what? Noah was the only just man on the whole planet. Noah was the only one that had any redeeming social value to God on the whole planet. And guess what? He had children and he had a wife. And whether they knew God, I don't know. But they were brought in under the covering of Noah, right? Because Noah looked at that family and said, yes, I will spare this one family to repopulate the earth. Yes, I'll spare it. Well, I'm going to read on. Thank y'all. He was found perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Does that sound familiar? The earth was filled with violence. The United States of America was filled with violence. No respect for law, no respect for all. And I'm not saying everybody by any means, but when you see the things going down that are going down now, when policemen are just being mowed down in massacres, it's going to get worse. Unless there's some justice that arises, and justice is going to come from the house of God. Justice is going to come from people getting saved. It does matter who gets elected, but I'll tell you what, they're not going to be able to stop this flood tide. Only the presence and revival of God will do that. Only restoration of what our nation started out will do that. Anyway, I've got way off, and I wasn't going to do that. But the earth was corrupt and full of violence, so God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt for all flesh. All flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And so what happened after that? For 120 years, Noah built the ark. For 120 years, he preached. He told people, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. The flood is coming. And nobody listened. And what happened that day? It said when they walked in the ark, the animals went in two by two by two into the ark, right? And it said that Noah and his family went in the ark. And as soon as they went in the ark, what? It said, God shut the door. And it began to rain. And it began to rain. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained. And not only did it rain, it said the fountains of the deep were busted up. All the underground rivers and streams busted up. And the whole earth was flooded to the top, covering the top of the highest mountains. And scientists go, that couldn't happen. Oh, it did happen. It did happen. It did happen. Evil was destroyed. The earth was cleansed. The earth was baptized. It was baptized in a cleansing flood. Does that mess with your theology? What happened? What happens when we just talked about? What happens when, what do people, when they get baptized, they always say, well, you go down and you drown, the old man dies, and what? The new man arises. What happened after Noah's flood? Evil died, sin died, and he said, okay, now be fruitful and multiply and repopulate the earth. And God, I'm not even going to read this, but then God said, I've got a covenant with you, right? What's a covenant? He said, I've got an irrevocable covenant with you, which means what? It don't matter if you keep your end of it or not. I will not break my word. No matter how evil you get, no matter how corrupt you get, I will not break my covenant. Whoa! And it's so cool, he puts a rainbow up when it rains so he can look on it and remember. It's not like God's got a bad memory, but he looks on it. He says, I will never, ever destroy the earth again with water. I think that's pretty cool. Man, every time it rains, I've seen a lot of them this year, every time it rains, and I'll be waiting for that sun to come over here in the west, and I'll come out there, and it's like, I seen triples one day, didn't we, Donna? We saw a triple rainbow, the amazing triple rainbow. They exist. Praise God. Revelation 20, verse 9. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the prophet are. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who was in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found written in the book of life would cast into the lake of fire. I call that the wicked's baptism of fire. Someday, everybody that is not, their name's not written in the book of life, and there's going to be millions of them, they're going to be baptized in fire. They're going to be baptized into the lake of fire. Satan and his false prophet and the beast will be baptized in the lake of fire. And then everybody that followed the evil one will be baptized in the lake of fire. That's not a baptism you want, but it cleanses evil. Because guess what? If God opened heaven to everyone, you say, that's so unfair, that's so mean. If God opened heaven to everyone, what would happen? It'd be corrupted. It'd be evil. He'd have to cleanse heaven. God's not going to let that happen in his heaven. Amen? Yes. So there's another baptism of fire. Go to 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 10. I know I'm not telling y'all nothing you don't know, but you need to think about it. You need to think about the righteousness and goodness of God. God is not mean as you suppose sometimes. When people say, if God, well, you know what? When people say, if God was a good God, when they say that, they're speaking the very words of Satan. Because that's what he said to Jesus in the wilderness. Did God really say? Yes, he really said it and he really meant it. And if God went back on his promises and his covenant, you know what? He'd be independent. You couldn't depend on God. You can depend on God. What he says and what's in his written word will come to pass. It will come to pass. What's that? Is it in Peter, 2 Peter? It says, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers went asleep, things continue just as they were from the beginning. And he says, but you forget Noah's flood, and you forget God is patient and enduring. God doesn't want anyone to perish. That's why he's waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And he wants us out preaching and 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 preaching. I used to work with Larry. He told me something really cool this morning. You didn't share it, but he said on the way here, he said he went to an ATM to get some money, and he noticed this lady walking with a do-rag, a bandana, kind of like. And I think he went on and got his money, and then he backed up, and he said, are you okay? Is that what you said? She said, no, actually, I'm sick. I've got cancer. And that's probably why she had this. See, the Holy Spirit is speaking to Larry. That was a prophetic word from God to turn to this lady and say, what's going on? Now, it would have been a lot more comfortable to go, well, you know, they might think I'm some kind of freak or, you know, maybe this guy's hitting on me or whatever. But no, he went on and said, and he did, and you prayed for her, didn't you? Jesus loves you, lady, and by the power of his name, you will be healed. Now, I rebuke that spirit of hell that's put guilt on you because you said you didn't do enough. See, you did just exactly what God told you to do, see? We don't have to write a book. I'm not on you, brother. I'm telling you. No matter what you do, the enemy's going to say you didn't do enough. No matter. You can't receive that. Because you know what it'll do. You won't do nothing the next time. But you are, praise God. What a start. I didn't do that when I was a new believer. God is good, man. God, you're expecting a miracle, aren't you? Right? Even though you haven't always seen them, right? And people, too often, they judge God by what didn't happen. Right? You can't do that. God is God. God is sovereign. You just got to accept it's good. It's good. He's good. He's going to use everything that happens in your life for good if you allow him to. I think I'll drink some of this oil. I do need something. It's okay, isn't it? 2 Peter. Did I tell you to go to 2 Peter 3? Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Listen to this. This is cool. in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. I'm sure it's got a lot greater than that. We need Justin here. Great noise. That boy could clap louder than anybody ever knew. Great noise. And the elements will melt with what? Fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and goodliness? Looking for, this is what we're supposed to be doing, looking for and hastening the coming day of God. Because the heavens will be dissolved. It don't just say the earth's going to burn up. It said the heavens are going to be dissolved. I don't know if he's going to wipe out the stars and just start all over. I don't know what he's going to do. But it's going to be a cleansing like has never been, the ultimate cleansing. What ultimately cleanses things? Ultimately. Fire! Right? What's fire do? Burns up the chaff. It burns up the stuff that don't need to be there. What does it do? When you refine gold, what happens? You get it hot. You get it hot and you skim off the slag or whatever it's called, the junk. That, and every time they do it, seven times. And it gets purer and purer. And I think they quit when they can look in it and it's like a looking glass. And it's that's when they stop purifying it. Wow. So you wonder why you go through the fire sometimes, pilgrims. Ever wonder why you go through the fire? Purifies. Purifies. Disappointment purifies. Betrayal purifies, if you allow it to. It can make you hard and crusty, or it can make you, yes, Jesus, if they persecuted you, they sure gonna persecute me. Okay, so there's gonna be a baptism of fire someday that's gonna cleanse the whole world and everything. The whole universe is gonna be cleansed. And when that holy city, New Jerusalem, comes down, it's gonna come down on a pure planet. The water is gonna be pure. There's gonna be no more pollution. There's not going to be no disease. It's all burned up. Everything is gone. Everything that's gone that causes to stumble, right? And it'll stay that way, right? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. I don't have too much more. More than I thought, though. This is baptism. This is good to know about, isn't it? So the earth's baptized by water. The earth's going to be baptized by fire. What's baptized mean, by the way? It means submersed, covered. Yeah, cleansed. 1 Corinthians 10:1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. So, when Moses came with the children of Israel, millions of them, their back was against the wall. They couldn't go back because Pharaoh's army, the demon's army, was behind them, right? They had them pinned in, and to keep them through the night, well, God said, hold your staff out over that water, and what's going to happen? I'm going to part the sea for you. I'm going to make a way for you to go through, which is totally impossible, isn't it? You would have to be, like, pretty bizarre to even believe God told you that, wouldn't you? Really? Really, just like God told you this morning, you think that's a small thing, but it's not a small thing. It's a huge thing, and when you obey a small thing, big things are on the way. You hear me? You got to obey the small things. So what happened? All night, the wind blew, and what did he do? He kept the, how did he keep these Egyptians wanted to kill every one of them. They were going to come in and slay millions. How did he prevent that? What did God do? Didn't he send a wall of fire? Didn't he? That protected them from the Egyptians all through the night. And so that next day it said a strong wind blew all night. And it was like Cecil B. DeMille and the Ten Commandments. Here they are walking through. And you know what? That's a baptism. They walked through the sea and it was a baptism. And you know what? When they got on the other side, what happened? He lowered his staff, and what happened? All the Egyptians had followed him in there in their chariots, and they're getting mired down in the mud and stuff. And what happens? When he lowered his rod and went, the water goes, boosh. And all of their enemies, all the evil was drowned. Same as water baptism, it was drowned. It was dead. And even proof of that death was they were washing up on the shore. Right? And Miriam goes, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider thrown into the sea. Yeehaw! Dead bodies washing up on the shore. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, they're dead. You go, that's so harsh. No, not at all. And that's when you go into the water baptism in that thing, in that hot tub, or this creek, or a stream, or wherever you do it. That's what you need to, that's what you need to know, Samuel, when you do that. You're cutting off all that junk. I don't know what you've been in, probably not too much. But if you've been in pornography, it's cut off. You can resurrect it again, but it's cut off. It's dead, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you're a drug addict, it's cut off. It's cut off. If you're a pervert, it's cut off, and you don't have to go there no more. Amen? If you're a chronic liar, it's cut off. It's drowned. That's what you got to believe when you go in there. You can't just believe, oh, I'm getting baptized. Oh, praise the Lord, this is some kind of religious thing I'm doing. And I'm not saying, listen, even if you get baptized like that, it's a good thing because you're obeying God. But you need to look at what it means. It's powerful. Go to another scripture. So this is in the Old Testament, right? Joshua 3:14. I'm just going to read it. It was when the people set out from their camp to cross the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water. They put their feet in the water because the Jordan overflows and is flooded this time of year. The waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. The waters went down into the sea of Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel crossed over on ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. So what? They were going from what? They've been wandering in the wilderness for how long? 40 years they've been going around in circles and circles and circles and circles. And what happened? There's some warriors that rose up. What, Joshua was one of them. Caleb was one of them, right? Who else? Anyone. What's that? Yes, yes, yes. And they said, no, this is a land flowing with milk and honey. We can take this land. And I think the church needs a fresh baptism. I think the church needs a baptism of fire. I think the church needs a baptism going, we are going in to the promised land. We're tired of walking in circles. We're tired of being intimidated by the world. We're tired of being intimidated by the devil. We're tired of taking three steps forward and two back. We're going into the land. We're going to Jericho. We're going to blow the trumpet and we're going to shout, ho! And we're going to see God move. Seriously. I'll smile when I say that. Seriously.
Yes, people, you know that they were drowning in the sea and everybody was happy about it. You know, praise God. He loves everybody and he just loves sinners and he loves sin. No! He's a holy God. He's coming for a bride, washed and clean. Well, I can't tell if I'm making you mad, glad, sad, or you're just like, I didn't know baptism. I thought baptism was fun. This is getting to be a, okay, one more. 2 Kings 5:14. This is about Elisha and Naaman. He went down and he dipped. What happened? Naaman, the king, came to Elisha and said, hey, I know you're a prophet of God, and I want you to heal me because I've got leprosy. Elisha thought it. Well, Elisha didn't think nothing of it. He thought, well, you're a king, so what? Don't mean nothing to me. I think he had kind of a, well, you're just a man. He said, okay, what you do is you go dip in the Jordan River 7 times and you'll be healed. Well, Naaman got too mad because he said he should have waved his hand or he should have laid his hand on my head or anointed me with oil or something. And he said, but he just told me to go dip. Well, he said, my rivers are just as good as their rivers. And his men said, look, the guy's a prophet of God. Do what he says. So he said, okay. So he what? He went dipped. Dip. 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 And he came out, and his skin was clear and pure and white, and there was no evidence of leprosy on him at all. I'd call that a baptism. So baptism not only heals the soul and forgives, what else does it do? I believe it heals the body too. The Jews still have ceremonial baptism. They don't even know why. Really, it's so cool what God's... in verse 15, after he was restored, it says his flesh was like a little child. He returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, indeed, now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. So Matthew 3, now we're getting down to verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, what's it mean if something's at hand? Right there at the door. It's just like the wind of restoration. It's right there at the door. It didn't destroy the church, but it showed the power of God. He could have destroyed the church if he'd wanted to. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, for this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warns you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, what? Get baptized in water? He said, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So that's what you want to do, isn't it, Samuel? Right? You've accepted Jesus. You've repented of your sins, but you want to lay them to waste, right? You want to get the memories of it. You want to get you want to get every pull, every reminder the enemy tries to. It's a humbling thing to be baptized, isn't it? It was for me. Donna got in such a bad mood the day we got baptized. It was horrible. She had a battle, but she went on and did it. So, Romans 6:3, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. If we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. So, everything changes when we surrender to Jesus and die to ourselves, doesn't it?
Yes.
Go to Luke 3, and I'm closing, I promise. Two more. As the people, 3:15, Luke 3:15. As the people were in expectation and all reason in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, what? Unto repentance. But one that is mightier than I is coming, and whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Yes.
Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And back when they were baptizing unto repentance, Jesus hasn't even given his life yet, had he? So they were confessing their sins, and they were being baptized, a baptism of repentance. But he said, there's one that's coming after me. There's one that's coming after me. What's his name? Who did you let into your life last week? Jesus. Jesus came. He washed you and cleansed you and forgave you, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. There's one coming after you. And not only that, not only did he forgive you, you shook like a drunk for 3 days. And I mean that in a good way. He baptized you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. He baptized you. He gave you a sign and a wonder. He baptized you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. And some of y'all, I don't know, no raise of hands, but some of y'all have got the gift of other tongues. That's a sign and a wonder, isn't it? I said that's a sign and a wonder, isn't it? Seek after it. Strive after it. You need it. Especially in these days, you need it. Praise God. Acts 19, I close. I'm just reading what the Word of God's saying. Acts 19:1. It happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, disciples, what's a disciple? It's a follower, isn't it? Paul said to the disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, no Charles Parnham, no William Seymour, no Steve Hill, no Mark Avery, we have not received the Holy Spirit. In fact, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. Is that what they said? Let me read it accurately. All that was all paraphrased, all that stuff I threw in there. We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism, which was a baptism of repentance, which is necessary. You got to have repentance before you get there.
You got to have repentance before you get the Holy Ghost, right? You can't get the Holy Ghost unless you repent. You might get a ghost, but it's not a holy one. There's all kinds of people walking around with pyres and ooh, 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 but they don't have the Holy Spirit, do they? Paul said, John indeed baptized the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, we're going to go to a church that don't teach such a radical. We don't want to hear this about the Holy Spirit, right? We want to go somewhere where it's peaceful, you can punch your clock and just leave. Is that what they said? What did they say? When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And when they went to the bank to get money, the Holy Spirit went, somebody needs prayer here. When you go to the restaurant, this waitress, I know something about her, praise God. When your child lies to you, which they never do, boy, Donna could nail, oh. I know that David thought that Donna had secret cameras and stuff. Every time he would do something wrong, it would be like, dee, 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 dee. What really happened, David?
That's right.
Was it like this? And he's like, oh. I watched his face just flush white, you know. So God gives you these tools, not to be mean, but you can see the kingdom of God come. He comes in the spirit of truth, don't he? So we're believing today. I'm believing today that where did my baptism stirrer go? There you are. You want to start stirring that water? You got to stir that water because it's hot on top. It'll burn you. I didn't even take the cord out today. It's probably really kicking. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let me just encourage you. If you haven't been water baptized, you need to be water baptized. If you were baptized with water at one time, and this is not in the Bible or anything, but I believe if you have been water baptized and you fall away, it's not for God to remember it again, but sometimes I think it does you good to do it again. I got baptized when I was a little boy, and then when I really got real with the Lord at 30 years old, I got baptized again. And I know several of you guys have done that. But there's nowhere in the Bible where he puts a limit on it, just like he don't say take communion one time and that's forever. I agree that baptism is for God. You don't get water baptized because the church don't recognize the baptism, but, you know, God remembers that covenant, but sometimes we forget about it, don't we? I got a picture of me somewhere baptizing you in that swimming pool, Ben. I remember. No, I didn't baptize you, did I, Scott? Didn't think so. Well, praise the Lord. Let's baptize.